Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, September 23rd, 2012, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts Lavendar and Anastasia. This evening, we're happy to welcome back one of our most popular guests, Meg Benedicte, founder of the Unified Field Therapy, host of her own radio show here on Blog Talk Radio called New Earth Central, and author of Soul Realized, Unlocking the Sacred Keys to Becoming a Divine Human. Through her private teleseminars, Vortex Meditation CDs, her alchemy course called Zep Tepi, and Global Intention broadcast, her outstanding work is empowering people the world over to discover the magnitude of change that is possible within the zero-point field of a spinning vortex. Her websites are Meg Benedicte, that's MegBenedicte.com, and NewEarthEvolution.com. For the next three shows, Lavendar talks with her close friend Deb Regas about her recent book, Everyone's a Guru. Deb wrote the book 2 years ago, but because of breast cancer, she is just now releasing it. Lavendar hopes that you'll go to her website, which is thalassabooks.com, and that's spelled T like Tom, H-A-L-A-S-S-A, books.com, and order this book in order to help support Deb in the fight for her life. At the top of the show, we'll have our Starseed News segment with Anastasia, bringing current events of interest to Starseed and sharing some emails sent to us from around the globe. We want to thank Chris for hosting the switchboard this evening, and we invite you to call in with questions or comments tonight, and that number is 917-889-8292. Remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. If you like our show, please click follow on our show page. You'll get our show notices, and it will help promote our show and guests. Then remember to tell a few friends about us. For our new listeners, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation, and we also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. We'd also like to thank Rose, Anastasia, and Sahar for their continuing great work and dedication on behalf of our Starseed Forum. You can also find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. And we'll get started in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. Our Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings in your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. If you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by getting your solar return timing. And please allow 2 weeks ahead of time to make sure that you get it in time. And now I would like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Good evening, ladies.
Lavendar here.
Hello.
Good evening. Hello.
Hi, Anastasia.
Hello, everybody. Hope everybody's doing good tonight.
Oh, we're doing great, and we're really glad to be here. Right, Chris? Okay. Lavendar, do you want to say anything before? I think we do have Meg with us.
Well, are we going to do the news? How are we going to?
I certainly hope so.
I'm sorry. I have to tell you, I was trying to cover it up, but there were Blog Talk's lines were down, and I got in 5 seconds before the show started, so I'm a little discombobulated here.
It's okay. You can relax while get yourself
okay.
All lined up.
Anastasia, take it away.
I'll take it away for you. I want to tell everybody we had the most bizarre kind of scary thunderstorm here in the south early this morning that lasted 4 continuous hours. You know, the sun came up, and it was really dark outside. It was like a twilight. It was pitch black. Thunder and lightning for hours on end, bodacious thunder, and there's more due to come in here in a little bit, so I may not be able to stay with the show this evening, but it was a most unusual, pretty scary lightning storm we had this morning. So the energies have been a little bit odd everywhere, so it doesn't surprise me that Blog Talk had a few problems. So having said that, I want to thank all of the people that have written us, and I've got a couple of emails to share with you briefly this week. I want to start out with Jess from the UK, and thank you, Jess, for writing. Now, this is an abbreviation of her email because we do have a couple of news pieces to cover, but she started out by saying, "Hi, lovely ladies. What a fantastic Starseeds Academy show this week. Woo-wee, I have listened twice now. When I listen to the wisdom and teachings given from the vault, I get goosebumps, God bumps, she calls them, on my head, which feels like a halo." I think that's darling. She said, "With bright and wild blessings to everyone at Starseed Academy, I love you all and I'm honored to have found my ground crew." Thank you so much, Jess. That's lovely. And I just love your idea of God bumps and a halo. That's beautiful. And also from, let's see here, hold on a second. I've got to, this is from Helen. And Helen had an interesting story she wanted to share. She said, "Hello, ladies. I want to share this journal entry with you that I wrote back in February." She said, "I wasn't sure why this came to me, but after listening to last week's show where Lavendar shared some channelings from Navitar regarding flower essences and music of the spheres, it took my breath away because of the synchronistic total recall I had. And then I remembered this journal entry I'd made a year earlier." She said, "We were welcome to share it on the show, so I'm going to share it with you tonight." So this is her journal entry. She said, "In a meditation, I found myself in this open courtyard settling with columns that stood alive, where floors were made of marble with interludes of gardens and fragrant pools with the most exquisite floral scents that you can both smell and taste in the air. I wasn't sure where I was, perhaps a utopian or Eden version of Greece, but I was a woman, and so were the few that strolled in this open courtyard. The scent of the floral water healed the air and everyone that breathed of it. The floral scents are something reminiscent to me of tropical plumerias and mandevillas, and a hint of something similar to a watered-down rose scent also permeated in a very balanced and unimposing way. The women wore white and their arms were bare, and not many words were spoken in this place. When I am here, there is no other place that I want to be. We are all who we truly are. There are no secrets, no pretenses, and there is a perfect balance of both male and female energies in all that inhabit this space. Music accompanies this scent, and there are a few earth songs today that resemble it and can trigger the smell. This scent I have never smelled in this lifetime, but it's been with me all of my life, and I wasn't really sure where it originated from. A few months ago, I found out through a stage one reading that I carried the mark of Atlantis, 2529 Aquarius. So I connected this scent with Atlantis. And then after last week's show, I was activated even more so after hearing Ariel read Lavendar's notes. And now I'm certain of this scent's origins and the music that sometimes accompanies it. Thank you for releasing this knowledge from the vault. Love to you all, Helen." So I think that was a lovely thing. And there may be some of our listeners out there that have also had similar experiences to this. You know, a lot of times when we share our stories, it can trigger switches in others that go, you know, I've had that experience as well. So thank you very much, Helen, for sharing that beautiful vision that you had with us. Okay, well, we've got some quiet times happening on the sun right now. Solar activity is low. There's only a slight chance of M-class solar flares that are going to happen in the next 24 hours. So that's somewhat of a change over the last few months, just temporarily quiet. But SpaceWeather.com reports that there's a big sun-diving comet that's just been discovered, and it's causing quite a bit of buzz in the astronomy forums. It's called Comet C/2012S1, or ISON is its acronym. Now, it's currently located beyond the orbit of Jupiter, so it's a ways out there, but it's heading for a very close encounter with the sun next year. They didn't say the astronomical units, but I'm going to surmise that in a moment when I get to the end of this story. Anyway, they say that in November 2013, it will pass less than 0.012 astronomical units from the solar surface. Now, that is incredibly close, okay? That's why they call it a sun-grazing comet. The fierce heating that it experiences could then turn the comet into a bright, naked-eye object. Now, they're really abuzz with this because they think that the comet is going to be very big, bright, and skirt the sun. And they said that the brightness will be so great that it will probably be naked eye visible for observers in the northern hemisphere for at least a couple of months next year. Now, what's interesting about this is that one of the astronomers or a comet researcher named John Bortle suggested that a curious similarity between this comet and the orbit of the Great Comet of 1680 is very similar. He said that perhaps the two bodies could have been one a few revelations ago, meaning that this may be the Great Comet of 1680 that is perhaps broken apart. Now, the Comet of 1680 was, of course, the first comet that was discovered via telescope. It was one of the brightest comets of the 17th century, very famous, and it was very visible in the daytime. There are paintings from that era where it's shown a huge bright light in the sky with an incredibly long tail, spectacular comet. So we've got that to look forward coming up next year, and everybody's excited about it, so we'll see what happens. Some astronomers say that, you know, it could break up like Elenin did, but they're suspecting that maybe this will be quite the visual show for everybody. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about the weather real quick. Did you all know that the West has been having quite a few wildfires? And so to our Starseed listeners in Washington, the Western U.S., I hope that all is better. This is from Friday, so we're a few days late on this, the last update I had on this. But apparently the Table Mountain Complex in central Washington's Chelan and Kittitas counties tripled in size last Friday to more than 47 square miles.
Ooh.
And there are even a lot more fires going on right now. There were 161 homes north of Ellensburg in the Liberty area were under a level 3 evacuation, meaning that residents were urged to leave on Friday. There's just thousands of firefighters that are battling dozens of wildfires that have been going on the eastern slopes of the Cascades. So it's been a pretty serious situation across eastern Washington, and I want to send a lot of light and love to our Starseed listeners in that area and keep us updated about what's going on up there. Okay, remember last week we had that wonderful story about the parchment that Magdalene was Jesus' mm-hmm. wife, or that Jesus
right.
referred to his wife. The assumptions are that it is the Magdalene. And that has caused, of course, you know, a flurry of news reports from everywhere. It's been all over the place. New York Times is where I reported the article from you last week, to you last week. But also the Smithsonian has had a wonderful in-depth article about it. But on the tails of that, something else very interesting has come to the fore. And this is really tangential, actually, to some of the, arcane beliefs in certain religious or Christian sects that say that God has a wife. For example, the Mormons believe that the Latter-day Saints are of the opinion that God the Father has a wife, to which most traditional or fundamentalist Christians take great umbrage at that. However, there is an Oxford scholar by the name of, I got to make sure I got this right. I think it's Raphael Patai. Anyway, he is stating that God did have a wife named Asherah that the Book of Kings suggests was worshipped alongside Yahweh in the Temple of Israel. Now, in 1967, this historian was the first to mention that the ancient Israelites worshipped both Yahweh and Asherah. And the theory has gained right now new prominence due to research of, I have to say this name right, Francesca Stavracopoulou.
Stavracopoulou.
I'm sorry, that has about, I don't know, 35 letters in it. Yeah. Stavracopoulou, who began her work at Oxford, and she's now a senior lecturer in the Department of Theology and Religion at the University of Exeter. Now, information presented in her books, lectures, and journals has become the basis of a three-part documentary series, which is now airing in Europe, where she discusses the Yahweh-Asherah connection. And I'm going to quote her. She says, "You might know him as Yahweh, Allah, or God, but in this fact, Jews, Muslims, and Christians, the people of the great Abrahamic religions, are agreed. There is only one of him," she says. "He is a solitary figure, a single universal creator, not one God among many, or so people like to believe. But after years of research specializing in the history and religion of Israel, I've come to a colorful and what could seem to some uncomfortable conclusion that God had a wife," she said. She bases her theory on ancient texts, amulets, and figurines unearthed primarily in the ancient Canaanite coastal city called Ugarit, now in modern-day Syria. Very interesting, Syria. It has a lot of very precious artifacts, and this is one of them. All of these artifacts reveal that Asherah was a powerful fertility goddess. Now, Asherah's connection to Yahweh, according to this historian, is spelled out in both the Bible and an 8th century B.C. inscription on pottery found in the Sinai Desert at a site called Kuntilit Arud. The inscription is a petition for a blessing, she says. Crucially, the inscription asks for a blessing from Yahweh and his Asherah. There was evidence that presented Yahweh and Asherah as a divine pair. And now a handful of similar inscriptions have since been found, all of which help to strengthen the case that the God of the Bible once had a wife. Also significant, this historian believes, is the Bible's admission that the goddess Asherah was worshipped in Yahweh's temple in Jerusalem. In the Book of Kings, we're told that a statue of Asherah was housed in the temple and that the female temple personnel wove ritual textiles for her. Now, J. Edward Wright, president of both the Arizona Center for Judaic Studies and the Albright Institute for Archaeological Research, told Discovery News that he agrees several Hebrew inscriptions mention Yahweh and his Asherah. And he says, I'm quoting, "Asherah was not entirely edited out of the Bible by its male editors. Traces of her remain, and based on those traces, archaeological evidence and references to her in texts from nations bordering Israel and Judah, we can reconstruct her role in the religions of the southern Levant." Asherah was known across the ancient Near East by various other names, such as Astarte and Ishtar. This was an important deity, one who was both mighty and nurturing. Many English translations prefer to translate Asherah as sacred tree. This seems to be in part driven by a modern desire, clearly inspired by the Bible narratives, to hide Asherah behind a veil once again. Mentions of the goddess Asherah in the Hebrew Bible are rare and have been heavily edited by the ancient authors who gathered these texts together. That's no surprise. But Asherah as a tree symbol was even said to have been chopped down and burned outside of the temple in acts of certain rulers who were trying to purify the cult, the focus on the worship of a single male god, Yahweh. Now, interestingly enough, perhaps some of you know this, but the ancient Israelites were polytheists. They were not believers in the one God. Over a period of time, of course, with the appearance of Moses and the Exodus, this is where the single Yahweh philosophy emerged. And it is that belief in the one God, the one male God, that we have seen, you know, the subsequent evolution of the Western world, the warlike state, and a lot of the division that we have with the emphasis on the masculine, and I might say not the divine masculine, that has led to the state where we now need to bring back the divine feminine. So this is a beautiful example, again, of how knowledge has been repressed, and that, of course, as we know, there is a male and female of everything, and whether it is the wife of Yahweh or the divine counterpart of the source makes no difference. It is that there is room in our pantheon of worship to include the sacred feminine, which we do all the time. And I'm just really happy to hear that. Now, this is just another piece of information that is going to be shaking the standard doctrines to their core. The truth is coming out slowly, but it's coming out interestingly and excitingly simultaneously. These are two very important pieces making news at this point for people to realize that, hey, there's more to this than we ever had any idea of. So it's good. It's all about the big changes to come.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
It is, and
beautiful.
As you were reading that, I was just thinking that, you know, mankind tries to conceptualize or comprehend a universal being, and with our little, you know, third-dimensional physical brains, we can't begin to do that, you know. but
well,
it's not
right.
Surprising, you know. I mean, as above, so below.
Well, sure,
and
you know that,
and vice versa.
Yeah. Right.
So.
And, of course, the Kabbalah teaches about the Ein Sof. The Ein is the source of life, the emanation, and the Sof is the reception. You know, we go back to the Big Bang. We have the, you know, the emanation of life and then the reception of life, very sacred terms for masculine and feminine. Goes
uh-huh.
to the source and origin of everything. So, yeah, I mean, you know, but it is when we talk about Jesus having a wife, and to consider that what's been taken out of the ancient scriptures, the Israeli and belief that God had a wife as well. So, you know, it just turns everything upside down, that what people take for granted is absolute truth. You know, there are big surprises on the horizon.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people have their concepts all nice, neat, packed up in a nice, neat little box where everything makes sense for them.
Well, this is what people do. Mm-hmm.
And, it's a form of security and
seeking
and
comfort, yes.
And comfort. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. right now, I mean, as I said last week, the reassertion of the divine feminine is imminent. It's inevitable. Because the nature of the universe is balance.
That's right.
And we've been so far out of balance one way to where, the masculine energies, and these can be women who have masculine energies in excess.
Absolutely.
As well. This is not about, you know, the girls versus the boys.
Right.
It is about mm-hmm. the energies, the masculine energies, which we need to have, but we need to have them in balance. And that is, as I said, it's the nature of the universe is to find balance, and the pendulum cannot stay up on one side forever. So, and this is the time when the return of the divine feminine and things like this, these pieces
well,
of news that you
that's
brought,
right. That's
it's
exactly,
evidence
it's
that
all
that
orchestrated.
Happening.
Sure, absolutely,
uh-huh.
It's materializing
completely.
On our level, absolutely. Well, I have another couple of pieces to share with you, and then we'll move on with our show. But there's a neurosurgeon afoot who indicates that low levels of radiation from Wi-Fi, smart meters, and cell phones are causing the blood-brain barrier to leak. So even though a lot of this information about concerning cell phones and low-frequency radiation has been suppressed, there are still people that persist. And this neurosurgeon and researcher named Dr. Leif Salford has conducted many studies on radio frequency radiation and how it affects the brain. And he says that some of the potential implications from his research is terrifying. And they're saying that even the weakest exposure levels to wireless radiation cause the greatest effect in causing the blood-brain barrier to leak. So still more indications then that we ought to be very careful about our use of cell phones and wireless. If we have young children, we probably not to let them be on there very long, if at all. So this is just, I'm just putting the word out there. Be mindful, you know, as we get closer to the earth and our natural state, it's really good sometimes to put down our dependency on electronics and unnatural ways of being, get more in touch with the earth. Heck, we might just pick up an old wire telephone and make a phone call, or maybe we could write a letter. I don't know. But we need
right.
to beware about being so dependent and mindlessly dependent on technology, because, you know, they always put this stuff out there before the research has been well established, because there's money to be made. But just because it's readily available doesn't mean that it's safe. So
right.
anyway, they're wanting, you know, this one scientist says it's time to connect the dots and stop this madness that is going to affect the health of all generations to come. So anyway, just a word out there about that. And for those of you that are into childhood development, maybe some of you are teachers or parents, I thought this was very interesting. There's a study that indicates that pacifiers can stunt little boys' emotional development. Isn't that something? They
uh-huh.
don't find this for girls, but they say that that for little baby boys, a recent study indicated that the boys that used pacifiers heavily, they repressed their emotions. And so they felt that this was going to stunt emotional development in boys. And if you're interested in that, you can Google that. See, the article is in the Journal of Basic and Applied Social Psychology from the University of Wisconsin. So if you have a baby boy and you're interested in finding out more about that, check that out. All right. Well, I think that'll be all for tonight. I'm looking forward to being here with you. And if I have to take off, it's because we've had some bad storms.
Okay.
So I'll have to catch it up on the archives, but I hope I can stay with you.
Okay. Well, we do too. Thank
All
you
right.
so much. Thank you
Thank
so
you,
much.
Everybody.
For the,
keep your emails coming. I greatly appreciate you very much. Send love to all of you tonight. Have a beautiful week.
Thank you so much, Anastasia, and we hope that the storms don't get too bad and affect you this evening.
Thank you.
So, Lavendar, I know you're there.
Here?
Yeah, okay. You had your phone on mute. Okay, we have Meg Benedicte with us on the switchboard tonight, which, by the way, folks, we are at all-time record high.
And hold on. I want you to address the 10 minutes I sent you to play
uh-huh.
about Deborah's book.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, are we going to, you want to do that first then?
Yes, I do.
Okay, all right then. We will do that, and Meg, enjoy. We're going to have a little short segment here. This is a pre-recorded interview with Lavendar and Deb Regas, our other featured author this evening, and here we go.
Well, Starseed listeners, we really have a treat today. I'm going to be talking to my dear friend Deborah Regas, who was part of my life for about 3 or 4 years. We traveled around trying to get some funds together to make movies, and when the crisis happened with the money in the world, of course we had to put it down and do something else. But today I have Deborah with us, who's talking about her new book that she's written called Everyone's a Guru. Welcome, Deborah.
Hi, Lavendar. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm very excited. It's my first radio interview because the book just recently came out. Thank you.
That's great. So tell me, now I know you've been published over the years, but why did you write this particular book?
My inbox. One day I went to my email inbox, and there were probably, I'm going to guess, around 2,000 emails. And the bulk of them were not personal emails. They were asking for various things that had to do with various lists that I'd either been on or people got my name from somewhere. And it was so loaded with information about buy this, get that, I know this, I know everything, this is the answer, here's the best thing, this is the only way, you've got to have it. And I kind of went ballistic, actually. I just went, oh my gosh, everybody thinks they've got the answer to the whatever it is, whether it's a cure for something or whether it's the answer for something or the biggest solution to our problems. And I went, well, how do they know they're right? And how do they, you know, how do we know when we read these that they're right? And I thought, you know what? I've got to throw out my two cents on how people need to respond to the world around them. And that's kind of how it started.
Well, didn't you kind of write this with a lot of humor?
Oh, yeah. For one thing, I have a very serious book that I want to begin writing very soon. And this one I had to get out of my system, sort of. I can't really think of another way to put it. It really wanted to be written, let's put it that way. I needed to get the content out because many people have asked me about these things through the journey of my life. You know, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? What have you ever had this experience? Or what do you know about astrology? Or do you really believe in that stuff, et cetera? So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to put it all together in this book and address all these various subjects that I know actually quite a bit about. And just get it out there so that it is done and I can focus elsewhere. But I really loved the process. I had so much fun. I found myself laughing out loud as I wrote. And I have subsequently, every time I've read the book, after finalizing it, which took quite a while, I've delighted in some of the content still. So yes, there is a lot of humor. And I know that anybody in, say, the metaphysical communities or the groups of that are learning, moving toward higher consciousness or subjects kind of along those lines, that they'll get some chuckles and they'll recognize maybe themselves or friends or family, et cetera. And so, yeah, there's quite a bit of humor in it, and hopefully people see that.
So you kind of wrote it for the metaphysical community, is that right?
No, actually, it's a broader community. I wrote it for everyone, for anybody who might have any questions about their spiritual seeking. I think that religion has a place in our world, and I think it's wonderful that when people are members of churches or organized religion where they go for their various spiritual upliftment. But this kind of takes on broader subject matter. It goes more to the soul of a person and the knowing that we really want. And it gets us beyond books and beyond people and tries to return us to ourselves. So really it's for anybody. And I think actually a lot of younger people who are just setting out, say, on a spiritual journey might really value it, as well as people who've been on one for 30 years. It's for everyone.
So it'd be really a good Christmas gift for parents or grandparents to think about getting this for their grandkids.
Yes.
That'd be good.
Yes. Especially anybody who has, you know, they might have heard some questions about these various things or debates. And, you know, I think that this might help set a few things straight or at least get people thinking. That was the whole purpose.
Right. Why don't we now give your website, the two websites that you have, one's to get the book, the other is your writing coach website. Go ahead and speak really slow and give that two addresses.
Okay. The www.thalassabooks, thalassabooks.com has kind of shows all the different places where it can be bought and people can ask their local bookstores. My own website, CompleteWritingCoach.com, also has a lot of information about me, my biography and my history, a little bit that's not in the book, but sort of talks about how I do and people can see many of the other things I've written.
So you wrote this almost 2 years ago. Why did it take so long to get it published?
Well, okay. I had been diagnosed with breast cancer about 9 years ago, and I did a lumpectomy, and I chose to not go the normal route of chemo and radiation after that. And I had nine now, very excellent years. It's not eight, it's 9 years now. And the amazing years of travels and journeys, including you, and so many moments that were part of my own inner exploration. But then the cancer resurfaced, and I was diagnosed in November of 2011 with metastatic breast cancer. And so I've had to deal with some of that, and I actually chose to do chemotherapy for 12 sessions, and I don't wish to do any more of that. But I appreciated what I gained from some of the mainstream medical approaches. However, I am back to using natural and holistic approaches completely, and diet, of course, keeping out the GMOs and that kind of thing. So what happened was I'd written the book, I was in the throes of trying to get it out there, and then this happened. So it was put on a back burner for about almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
But things are much better now.
Well, good, and I feel like there's probably going to be another book in you, especially when you get through with breast cancer and going through this particular journey, you'll have a lot to write about, I'm sure.
Yes, and that is actually, ironically, the reason I moved up into this wonderful part of Northern California, and right now I'm actually sitting in a beautiful place looking at my volcano here, which is Mount Kanakai, was to write book two, and that is The Soul Returns, which I hope to begin writing very, very soon, because, interestingly, it's about life and death and how to help people with that experience, as well as to understand what we can learn and grow from. It's a very important subject to me. I've helped a lot of people transition, and so I really look forward to writing that, yes.
Well, you're just one of my favorite people, and all of us here at Starseed Hotline, you know, wish you the best, and we send you the Emerald Ray constantly. And so I would like to mention again that you can go on www.thalassabooks.com, and you can go to www.completewritingcoach.com if you want to contact Deborah yourself. Also, I noticed that this is on Amazon. And
yes.
So for those of you that have an Amazon account, you may want to go get Everyone's a Guru. So,
and Barnes & Noble.
And Barnes & Noble. Okay, that's
and
great.
And Powell's Books.
Okay.
And a number of other places.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Great. We're going to have different segments about this book on the show. Today is part one. And so now, back to you, Arielle.
Well, thank you so much, Levendar and Deb Regas.
I would like to add something. I ordered 10 of her books, and they arrived today. And you know how you sometimes just open a book, 1, 2, 3, and you get a message?
Mm-hmm.
And she has a whole chapter in here about the Divine Mother Mary and possibly Jesus having a wife. And there's one little paragraph that I thought was very, very pronounced. She says, "I leave you with this thought. No wars have ever been fought over Mary or Kuan Yin or Tara or any of the other representatives of feminine divinity. No wars have ever been fought over our Divine Mother, have they? And why do you suppose that is?" Interesting thought, huh?
That's very thought-provoking.
Yeah, right. The wars are always fought over the male god. Yeah, no, none's ever fought over women. I think that's just really interesting. Anyway, so we're ready for Meg.
Okay. Let me just get this open here. Welcome, Meg. Welcome.
Hi. Well, thank you. Hi, Ariel. Hi, Levendar. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm so excited to be here with all of you.
Thank you.
We love having you here.
Well, Meg, I know that you moved to Mount Shasta, and we need to know how you love it.
Wow. Well, I moved less than 2 months ago, and it was a huge, like, uprooting from Los Angeles, where I'd lived all my life, and then getting my business and my home up here, rented a place up here for a year to be here during the end of the year in the quantum shift. And wow, there's just so much happening since I've gotten here. The energies are so powerful. I can feel the vortex out of the mountain. Just amazing clean air and water, and the frequency is so beautiful. So I feel just on a personal level, it's really helping me regenerate my health, and I'm not having to battle all of the lower 3D matrices that I was always having to deal with when I was in Los Angeles. Actually, the first week I got here, I could just feel those just dropping off my body. And now that I've been here almost 2 months and really acclimating and getting, you know, grounded in, I had to adjust to the altitude. It's almost 4,000 square, you know, feet higher. We were at, you know, it was at sea level for all my life. So I'm having to adjust to the altitude. But it's just amazing. What it's doing is it's just opening up my connection to the Ascended Masters that are very present here in the sacred site, and it's allowing me to really power up working with this quantum vortex energy now. I can just feel it's just grown exponentially since I've gotten here. So very exciting. And so all the work that I do, especially in our global activations, is now drawing from this Mount Shasta sacred energy. So it's just exciting.
Well, you know, I have several clients that are also clients of yours, and they've been taking your course, and they're all so excited about what they're learning in the courses that you're offering to them. So would you expound on that a little bit and tell us more about those courses and when you're going to start the next ones?
Yes, thank you. I have been working in the quantum vortex for about 15 years now, and in a sense it was teaching me how to remember how to use it. My Oversoul, of course, has been bringing this in as a technique and a tool for the ascension, but my human self had to learn how to work with it. And so what this is training. It's a 12-week certificate training course. I was finally given the green light to be able to offer it here in this year, 2012. And what it does is it's drawing from information from Zeptepi, which is the first civilization in ancient Egypt at the time of building the Pyramid of Giza. And this is where it's drawing from the 12 tribes, the 12 star systems that populated that first civilization called Zeptepi. My Oversoul is part of that, and so I'm drawing from my memory, in a sense, my memory banks of being in the mystery schools there in Zeptepi. It also is drawing from my memory of being in the priestess Avalon goddess worship and training, and so that's more about working with nature and shape-shifting. And then we combine all that in more of the soul retrieval process that's happening right now, especially this year, where we're able to really clean up any karma from any past lives, closing out and resolving and cleaning up any soul contracts, and really just getting into a clean place of culmination of all of our past lives here on planet Earth so that we can ascend into becoming crystalline humans, becoming divine humans. And so this 12-week course it runs the gamut. It's on quantum physics, it's on metaphysics, it's on galactic vortex activations, and so it really is an ascension process that I teach in these 12 weeks. So it's for you personally if you are drawn to this, and then also you get certified and you're able to add that in as a healing practice to start to offer that and helping others as well as a healer. And we just finished the first 12-week course last month, and so the next one is starting next Tuesday on October 2nd, and it's going to run all the way through till December 18th. It's going to take us right up to the winter solstice and the shift in consciousness on December 21st. So I welcome anybody who is resonating with this type of work and process. It's really how to prepare your energy field to get into the counterclockwise rotation of the quantum vortex. We literally are moving towards no time, all time. We're moving to the zero point at the end of the year here on the planet. And so it helps you to get ahead of that and to be able to work with that motion and that sacred geometry and working with the harmonic tones, the sacred sounds of our universe, and start to transform your bioenergetics as we're preparing for what's coming here at the end of the year. So that's coming up next Tuesday.
Great. Well, I hope that the starseeds that are listening, if they're interested, to please contact you. Give us your web address if they're interested in contacting you. And when you contact Meg, please let her know that you heard it on Starseed Radio Academy.
Yes, please. The website is newearthevolution.com, newearthevolution.com, or you can email me, and Alexa, my assistant, will help you get registered. My email is meg@megbenedicte.com. And when you do register, like Lavender said, please make a note that you were referred by Starseed Academy Radio. That way then we know where you heard about it, and then we can share some affiliate referral fees with Lavender and Ariel. So please, don't forget to mention them.
So tell us some of the new things that have been given to you by the Ascended Masters. Give us
wow.
some brand
okay.
new information.
Okay, I'll give you the dump here on what's been happening in the last, just the last, oh my God, the last week has been intense because we had that Uranus-Pluto square, as you know, last Wednesday. And then this equinox, oh my God, the equinox on Saturday was incredible. I was getting information from the Masters leading up to it. We did a global intentions meditation that day on Saturday, the 22nd, during the equinox energy. And I kept getting shown, this is like a huge tipping point Saturday, on it's almost like it was a breakthrough in consciousness on the planet. I kept getting an image of like a volcano blowing, like things were really going to break through. And then while we were working, we had several hundred people calling in from all around the planet, and we were doing the global intentioning. And what we do during this event is we go to the great central sun of our galactic core and go through into the opposite side of the black hole of our galactic core. In basic quantum physics, there's a white hole on the opposite of the black hole, and this is where we're able to go through the portal in the great central sun to our parallel sister universe, which is a white crystalline universe. It's of antimatter, so it's pure light. We are living in a universe of matter, so this is where we have all of this dark matter here that we're dealing with, all of this polarizing dark consciousness that we're dealing with, because we're in a universe of matter. And so what's happening as we're moving towards that, you know, the zero point in the end of the Mayan calendar is these two universes are starting to converge and they're starting to integrate, and we're starting to unite the antimatter universe with the matter universe to begin to bring unity consciousness together. And so we no longer have polarity existing on planet Earth. This is the goal, and this is what we're working towards. Well, I have to tell you, what we did was when we went across into the universe of antimatter, into this crystalline light universe, and this is where most of our starseed origins exist and the star systems exist, and what happened is we were guided to bring the God seed back with us, where the antimatter and the matter were uniting in the God seed. It became pure seeds of creation. We stored those inside our inner core chamber and traveled back through time, space, and brought them here. And then we started depositing some of these God seeds into the center core of 3D Earth. Now, I have not been working on 3D Earth. I'm going to be honest with you. All these years, I've been pointed to 5D Earth. That's all I've been guided to work with. That's all I've been guided to focus on. There's literally these two holographic realities that exist on our planet right now, 3D Earth that's polarized, and then 5D Earth that's in this unity consciousness. And there's this bridge of light between the two holograms. It's like a neutral zone that's between the two. And so all the starseeds are starting to get on that bridge of light. They're starting to get into that neutral zone, and they're starting to change their energy and their vibration and their consciousness to merge into the 5D hologram. And so what I have to tell you, though, while we were working in this global intention, and I was guided, you know, we're depositing these incredibly beautiful seeds of creation, these God seeds, into 3D Earth, I experienced what I can only describe as the most extensive counterforce I've ever experienced in doing these global meditations, and it was like being in a lightning storm. And so this is what's happening all around the planet right now. If you think about it, we've got centuries of polarity and dark matter stored in 3D Earth, and so be able to try to shift that, it seems extraordinary. So I think what we're doing is we're trying to just bring these God seeds in to help the ecosystem heal and regenerate and do what we can to assist 3D Earth. But basically what's happening is the star seeds and light workers are evolving up into this higher universe of the 5D new Earth. And so that was one of the first things I had noticed, was whatever happened on Saturday is really accentuating this battle between the polarized forces. And so if you're noticing that, just stay very contained in your auric shield. Stay very inner focused. Don't give your attention to the negative energies that are going on out there, because of course, as you know, wherever we focus our attention is where our power goes. It's where our light goes. It's where our life force goes. So the more that you can stay focused on your inner vision of life in the 5D New Earth and build that with power, build that with light, build that with strength. That's what's happening as far as this current week. But then what also I've been noticing, Lavender and Ariel, is there's these two key, I guess we call them key elements that have gotten very strong and present that we can use right now in our ascension process. And if you like, I can guide the listeners through maybe a 10, 15-minute activation of it. The two things we're using, the two elements we're using, is this powerful divine feminine infusion that's been pouring onto our planet since June 5th and the Venus return. This is coming in, I see it as this soft pink rose quartz light of compassion and healing, and it is pure divine mother goddess energy. We've been using this inside ourselves, spinning it in our vortex around us, grounding onto it. And then I'm also being shown the crystal core that the 5D New Earth is anchoring onto is this giant, gorgeous pink rose quartz crystal. And so literally the infusion of the divine feminine, it is our salvation. It is what's giving us access to the 5D New Earth. And then the second element that's coming in very strong right now are the 12-dimensional harmonic tones. They're emanating out of the galactic core as we're lining up right now, right onto the galactic core with our solar system. These 12-dimensional harmonic tones, we can use these not only to balance ourselves, but also if you stream these into any kind of discordant, toxic, morphic field that exists inside your own energy body or on the planetary field, they actually create a wave interference that starts to disperse and scatter and dissolve those morphic fields, and it's actually quite effective. And so we've been using that as well, and I can feel the energies are really shifting from using these two elements right now. They're very powerful and effective. So I'd love to offer that to the group if we have time.
Well, let's do it now. What do you think, so Ariel?
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay. I love it. Okay. Well, all right, so what we're going to do then, I'm going to work with everyone remotely here, connecting with you. We're all in our own private vortex. There's no group blending here. I'm really conscious of boundaries and privacy. So what we're going to do is just open up the vortex around each and every one of us, and then we'll use those two elements, and I can walk you through the steps and activations, and then you can just do this on your own as well when you feel the need. But I'm finding that we're just being shown how to take advantage of what's coming into the planet right now that's helping us through these next 3 months coming up towards the winter solstice. Okay, so let's see here. To do this, first we have magnets on the bottom of our feet. So anytime we open up any kind of quantum vortex spin, I want to make sure everyone's grounded so you don't have vertigo. So we're just going to put our magnets on the bottom of our feet. It's kind of like their feet are just kissing the ground here. So if you can be sitting and just have the feet flat on the floor, and then once we get into the vortex spin, you can lie down. We just got to get you grounded first. And let's just open up a couple deep breaths. We're just going to get the life force moving into the heart and lungs, into the core chakra pillar, locking our magnets onto our grounding platform. So we have basically at the bottom of our core pillar, it's like being on a gold disc. It's our grounding platform. So we're locking on and we're breathing life force, just golden light, just breathing it into our core, into our lungs, into our hearts. Okay, excellent. And now we're going to visualize that we're stepping onto the sacred geometry of Metatron's cube. It's embedded in our grounding platform. It looks like the 12 circles around the 13th central circle. So if we can step on the center one, we're going to start to activate the sacred geometry of Metatron to start to rise up as 12 pillars of light up and around the body, and they're operating like tuning forks. They're going to start to tone the body with the sacred sounds. This is the Om tone of God Goddess toning right into our hearts, into our core, our bellies. And this is creating a sacred temple for us to work in. Okay, good. That's taking hold. And now we're going to activate the vortex spin at the feet. So the sacred geometry is going to start to spin up from right to left in a counterclockwise rotation. And this is actually our own planet spinning counterclockwise. Our sun is spinning counterclockwise. Our galaxy is spinning counterclockwise. We're starting to get it back into the natural rhythm of our universe. And it's as if you're standing on a clock and you're looking down at your feet and you see the clock, you're going to spin backwards, right to left, all the way up and around it. Okay, there we go. We're going to get that spinning. Start, set the feet, and begins to open up and accelerate up and around the body in this crystalline white vortex. Spinning up. Okay, good. And now we're starting to get some momentum. And as it's spinning, it's kind of going out in a V shape. It's just going to open up and wrap around our entire unified field. And this includes our incarnational wheel, all that's in our energy field. Okay, good. There it goes. And as it's spinning, you just kind of breathe into it and visualize it opening up around you. And it, what this is doing also is it's creating the resurrection spiral up through our chakra pillar. So we're just going to focus internally now to that upward motion, that upward spiral. And it's kind of like an elevator. We're just going to go up and connect to all seven chakras in the physical body first. Going upward, counterclockwise spin. All right, there we go. And then we're going up beyond the crown and up through the five sacred chakras above the crown, all the way up to our higher self at the 12th chakra. This is our 12th stargate. It's the top of our chakra pillar. There we go, all the way up. And as we get up to the top here and connect to our gatekeeper, our higher self, this is our portal across into the Godhead. So we're going to start to move through like a doorway in time. And it's like a golden arches. We're just going to move through and into the sea of golden light. That is our Godhead. This is moving into the quantum field of the golden light, and it's like getting to become liquid light. We're just kind of letting go of density and time, and we're moving in and blending in. It's just like you're kind of floating in a golden pool of God light. And there you go. Everyone's doing great. We're just going to merge in and connect to the divine God goddess here. Excellent. And it's in here then that we are departiculating. So we're kind of opening up that antimatter around all the particles of matter. We're just dispersing and becoming more fluid light. And it's in here that we now use our mind's intent to connect to our own soul presence. Each and every one of us has our own unique energy signature, and it matches us. So let's just call forth our soul presence to come towards us so that we can start to stream in a golden light thread, a golden stream, a soul thread down our bodies. Our soul light is coming down the chakra pillar and in through the crown and then down the center of our bodies, filling into each chakra. There we go. But let's really fill it into our hearts, because our hearts is the portal to the great central sun. The heart is our portal to home. The heart is our portal to our divinity and our light body. Okay, good. So we're going to pour this golden light, this loving light of our soul, right into our heart as if it's like a container. Breathe it in, spin it in, filling and just opening and receiving the blessings of your own soul light. Good. Coming down in and filling into the heart. And we're just going to keep letting that filling in as we work here. Okay, the next thing we want to do is start to balance our masculine and feminine. As Ariel was talking about earlier, we have to be in balance to really merge with our soul, our divine self. So we're going to start to run a figure eight of light horizontally here, right at our center of gravity. So it's right above the navel in the upper belly. And we're going to run a looping around the left side, which is our feminine energy, and then back over and around the right side, which is our masculine energy, running that golden infinity sign there in our center core. Okay, there, it's starting to take hold and run. And then we're going to add a second one up at the brain. This is now going to go around the left masculine brain, right feminine brain, horizontal, there it goes. And it's laying right on top of that pineal gland, right at the center fulcrum point. All right, beautiful. And now you can start to feel the two figure eights are beginning to reverberate between each other and trying to balance your body, because they're opposites. Now we're trying to get the masculine and feminine equal balance, the positive, negative, left and right, light and shadow, all these energies in us, trying to get them now where they're in zero point. They're in that balance point. Now, to help this, we're going to bring in those 12-dimensional harmonic tones. And it's almost like there's 12 bands or levels, and they're stacked up. And each one has a sound wave from each dimension. So we've got 12 sound waves, 12 tones coming right in. They're all in harmony, because these are what is actually keeping our universes in balance and order and harmony. And so it starts to stream, and they're way above what they hear, you know, the human ear can hear, but they are powerful sound waves. They're bringing the 12-dimensional harmonic tones. Let's point them right into the fulcrum points of our two figure eights, right into your core, right into your brain and pineal. All right, there it comes in. And as we breathe these in, they start to push out of us any discordant energies, any imbalanced energies, any polarized energies. Oh, and we're just going to spin these up and out, then breathe these out, and send them back up into the light of source. All right, we're getting a good release. And this could be any fear programming. This could be any kind of battle between the heart and the mind, between the masculine and feminine. Spinning up and out. Any kind of old operating systems of 3D duality. All right, you're doing great. And what we're doing is we're starting to create a nice, calm zero point inside us. What we're doing is we're removing polarity and we're bringing in singularity. And this is what exists in the black hole of our galactic core, it's singularity. It's that singular standing wave pulse of creation. Okay, and now I'm starting to feel that opening up in your heart, your solar plexus, and in your brain waves. We want the brain waves to start to get higher and higher, much more up into the gamma ray of what's infusing onto our planet right now from the photon belt. We want to be able to be in sync and union and rhythm with the photon light infusion. Okay, good. I'm feeling everybody shifting. Oh, and we're just releasing some of that dense stuff, just kind of the old tar, the old sludge from the past. Any old emotional charge, that's chemical reactions in the cells. You just want to get that all out. So you're just shimmering light beings. Okay, good. And as we're releasing this old energy, let's start to breathe in and spin in and intention in this beautiful soft pink light. It's the rose quartz light of Divine Mother Goddess. And it's coming down our pillar. We're just going to bring this into our hearts first because that's the main hub here that connects us to our light body, to our soul presence. And it's coming in and just flooding into our hearts. Beautiful, loving grace and blessings and compassion, unconditional love of Divine Mother Goddess. Okay, good. Here we go. Starting to fill our hearts, and let's just start to bring it more into the body and around the body and the aura, where our auras are just filling with that beautiful soft pink quartz. Ooh. The light is illuminating, and it's getting into our vortex spin now, so we're actually starting to create like a cocoon of the Divine Mother Goddess soft pink rose quartz light, or spinning around us. And this provides protection, it provides healing, it provides a sense of safety and love inside here, where nothing outside in that chaos can touch us. Oh, it's getting stronger. And it's helping us ground our feet onto the new earth, where we actually can visualize that pink rose quartz beneath the grids of the new earth. We're hooking right down and into it, securing ourselves onto it. Okay, good, everybody. That's taking hold. And as this is spinning, as it's grounding in, as it's really providing such loving space for ourselves now, just a protection, while the two worlds continue to pull apart here in the next 3 months, you just keep focusing on spinning your pink cocoon around you of Divine Mother love, Divine Mother presence, and her protection, and also her balancing energy is coming in to balance out our overdeveloped left brain and our overdeveloped masculine energies, helping bring that into a beautiful simpatico, right, a beautiful union, a beautiful partnership inside us. And feeling that now run into our figure eight, so we're getting more of that beautiful feminine, divine feminine to run in and balance our masculine, where they're really working together now as one, as a sacred marriage inside us. Okay, oh, I can feel that running in everybody's bodies. This is beautiful. And then finally, so that's the first key element, really connecting and blessing yourself with this Divine Mother Goddess love, this Divine Feminine loving presence now, the soft pink rose quartz light. And then also let's now point these 12-dimensional harmonic tones into any toxic morphic fields that are still running in our energy fit systems. So this could be, boy, this could run the gamut. So this could be any kind of chronic fatigue, any kind of parasitic candida, any kind of depression, any kind of ADHD. This could be any kind of shadow that's haunting you. Let's just point them right into where you sense that, where you feel that, where that's bothering you. What these are, these morphic fields, are they actually go beyond time. They are carrying code and consciousness. Some of it could be from family of origin. Some of it could be from our planetary field. Some of it could even be from past life. So what we're wanting to do is just complete their time here and start to disperse them. And so I seem almost like clouds floating in our field in and around the body, and it's actually coding how our psyche and our physical body forms. So let's start to focus on these toxic. We are literally have been, working with all the toxins in 3D Earth. We have been, you know, trying to clean those out with our own bodies. So now let's get that out of our system. So I'm just going to pause for a moment and get everybody a minute to lock on and focus on where you have any of those toxins running. And we're going to start to run the 12-dimensional harmonic tones right into those morphic fields and disperse them with this wave interference. And what happens is when two sound waves, two energy waves crisscross over, the higher one lifts the lower one up and begins to transmute it. So let's just go ahead and run these in to any presence of distorted, toxic, morphic fields that are running in our system. We command them to disperse, to scatter, to spin out now. They do not have permission to be here. We acknowledge their presence, and now we run the tones in and disperse them and spin the scattered energies out back into the light of source. And there they go. They're starting to break apart. We let go of any emotional attachments to even having that condition or situation. Let it go. There we go. Letting them rise up and out, back into the higher frequencies of source. Okay, we're starting to get a good release happening now as we return our beautiful bioenergetic system into perfect health and divine order of our original soul blueprint. That's also a morphic field that's existing in us. Let's run that inside our bodies. Our own soul DNA, our own divine blueprint for perfect health and well-being. Good. Ooh, I'm feeling the shift. Breathing and spinning and releasing the old and opening up and receiving in the beautiful gifts, the blessings coming in. Claiming them as your own. Oh, good shift, everybody. Being in a huge alchemical transformation right now. Just keep breathing and spinning and grounding in the change. Spinning in. Good. Starting to take hold into the molecules in the cells. The magnets on the feet are locking it onto our platform to stay inside us, to continue to run, continue to transform, continue to uplift us. Good. We're getting higher and higher in frequency now. Faster oscillation spin in the cells. Counterclockwise spin. Pulling out of the downward spiral of time, which is the clockwise quicksand. We're just pulling up and out of it. Good. Oh, and that's breaking us free of the dark matrix of 3D duality. Oh, excellent. So let's just breathe in. I'm just feeling everyone going higher and higher. Let's just breathe that in and balance ourselves with our figure eights as we're recalibrating our body right now. Getting it to sync up to our own soul tones. So let's start to run that golden soul thread through our center pillar again. as if we're like a musical instrument, and that those soul tones are like violin strings running right down our center. And we're just going to start to tone and hum and reverberate through our bodies, our own soul vibration. There it goes. This is helping our bodies get in sync with our soul truth, our soul vibration, getting the biorhythms to adjust, up in the hypothalamus and the pituitary. All right, there you go. Whoa, excellent work. And this is taking hold now, grounding in to stay contained within us and continue to help aid us and heal us and transform us. And we set that into motion now, and so it is. And as that's coming in and grounding in and anchoring in, we're completing the activation. So we can just kind of tap on our arms and our legs and feel our feet on the floor. We're just pulling it all deep inside us, really concentrated inside the body. Coming back into the now moment, pulling it all inside us. There we go. Ooh, locking into place. Good work, everyone. And that completes our activation for now. And you'll have this in the recording anytime you want to use it again to just keep upgrading and recalibrating and cleaning out and lifting and ascending. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much, Meg.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Your descriptions are so clear. They're so easy to get in sync with what you're saying.
Oh, good. Good.
And I was picturing, and at one point, you know how the carnivals and amusement parks, they do the pink cotton candy.
Yeah.
And it spins around and around and around, and it's on that little white tube that's kind of cone shaped. And then you get this cone-shaped pink cotton candy. It's like, I'm the cotton candy.
That's
right.
Perfect. It actually feels like it does have that kind of substance, even like cotton candy, because it's not, you know, it's not really see-through light. This is rich, fertile, beautiful mother light. So that's perfect.
Right, but it's still kind of nebulous.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It shimmers.
Yeah. Oh, that is just wonderful.
Oh, it's such a gift. I can't even tell you. I'm so grateful that it's come in this year. We can use this now.
Well, it's right on time.
Yes, it is. Yes,
it is right on time, as are you. So we actually have the most people ever on our switchboard this evening.
Oh, my
goodness.
So
I just want to take a moment to tell you that if you want to speak with Meg, ask a question or make a comment, you need to press 1 on your keypad so that we know you have a question, and we do have a few already waiting to speak with Meg Benedicte.
First, let me say something that just happened. First of all my kitties came in and just went right to sleep listening to her voice. And at the very end of it, this is the anniversary of my father's death today, and I hadn't really thought about it much today, but as I was spinning out, I saw the last moments of his life, and then I saw him just go into an immense light and just completely erase that image that I had of him in his state. So that's what happened for me as I was doing that.
Wow, that's profound. Wow.
That's beautiful. And I don't know, Lavendar, you know this, but it is also the anniversary of the day my mother crossed.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I'd forgotten about that.
It just seems like our pasts are erasing, doesn't it? It's just like they're dissolving in time. Everything's dissolving that was in time.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. Yeah, and are you finding that whatever happened last week doesn't seem like it's real anymore, or it's
yes,
you know, gone into some other where. And I tell you another thing, Megan, I don't know if this has been happening for other people, but this is tied into what you know and what you do. I will have flashes of scenes from my whole life, and it seems like it just happened yesterday. It comes back out of nowhere, things that I had totally forgotten about and not thought about since I was in the second grade or something. And it just comes back like so fresh, like it just was yesterday. It's almost like all these different points in time are converging, like the string theory. Mm-hmm. And
yes,
you can jump to any point on the string. Is this happening to other people?
Well, I think that is a great description. I find that I have absolutely like no contact with anyone from my life for the first 45 years of my life. Like, it literally was lifting off and starting a new incarnation. It's profoundly different and kind of weird, but that's what I see is happening as we lift up into the fifth dimension. We're going into, it's almost like these universes they're flat and they're stacked, and we're going up to the next one above. We're going up to the higher one, and we're leaving this other one behind us. But what you're describing is somehow how when I actually kind of expand completely and embrace these universes and look in to what is what we call time, it almost looks like this flashing kaleidoscope of all these different memories and stories, and it's almost like flashing movie scenes. And yes, they're all converging, and they're all just blending into, it's like almost like all these pieces, like soul aspects coming home inside us, and it's all uniting now inside us. Pretty amazing.
Well, yeah, I mean, and there's a superimposition where they're all there all the time.
Yeah,
and it is not linear anymore. So
no.
That is just really it's astounding.
It is. It's a little mind bending, isn't it?
Well, it is, but you know, it feels good.
Yeah.
So we're going to just keep going.
Right.
We're just going to keep going because, you know, as Esther and Abraham say, nothing is as important than you feel good, because if you feel good, you can manifest anything you want. And if you feel bad, all you can do is make more stuff that's going to make you feel bad.
That's right. That's
so
right.
It's just,
follow what
yeah.
feels good.
That's right. Follow your bliss.
That's right. That's what means. That means it's in resonance with you, so it makes your energy go warm and yummy and excitable. It's just awesome.
Right.
That's what we have to follow.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get to some callers because we do have a lot of people calling in now.
Okay.
Let's see. We're going to go to the person who's been waiting the longest, and we will be talking to Ralph. Hello, Ralph.
Hello. How are you?
We're good. Good to hear from
great.
You.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. And that was a wonderful session. I don't know exactly what you call it, but it was dynamite.
Awesome.
But I did have a question about some terminology.
Okay.
I know you keep, well, a lot of your terminology I'm really not too familiar with, but I've noticed that you refer a lot to Mother Goddess, and is that the same as we had been referring to the Mother, Father, One, or the Source? Is all that the same?
Yes, yes. This is the Divine Feminine aspect of the monad, or the I Am of Source. So, yes, that is the same feminine energy. Yes.
Okay. All right. And the other thing, when you first started, you mentioned that there was an aspect of the Course that dealt with cleansing the past life karmic situations, and what I'm wondering is that necessary? Is it necessary to get that cleansed before we ascend? The last question I had is the Earth Mother Gaia right now in the third dimension, fourth dimension, or fifth dimension?
Okay, great. Those are great questions. Okay, so the first thing, Ralph, what I'm experiencing, because time is speeding up so fast this year that, you know, I spent years working on karmic contracts and digging into the past lives and all of this, and now we're able to work on these themes that are in multiple lives at the same time, and we're just able to, you know, kind of unzip these out of our field very quickly. So what I would suggest is just continue to watch what shows up in your outer world, outer life, because what that's doing is it's mirroring to you anything that is still requiring balance. So this would be, it could be karma, it could be soul contracts that are still open that require some resolution. So I look for anything that's charged or feels out of balance, and that tells me where to focus, and then what, you know, basically I just focus on the energy, however uncomfortable that may feel, and ask, okay, what is it I need to learn? When what I've seen in doing this work is when we learn the life lesson, that karma disappears. So just keep asking, what is it I need to learn? What is, if there's any lesson I need to integrate, and that karma will disappear because you have, it's basically, it has fulfilled itself. You've gotten the gift of what it was trying to show you. So that's what I would suggest in the next 3 months, is just stay very aware and keep asking, is there any life lessons I still need to learn, anything that I need to integrate? Because really what we're doing is we're coming into wholeness. So any soul aspects that may be stuck in time in these traumas in past life or in karma, you can start to integrate all of that. And that's what's so great about this vortex, is because it will spin all those soul aspects very quickly at a very accelerated rate into union inside you. And you don't have to go through these long, laborious years of digging into the karma anymore. So just hold that intent, and you're going to be fine. And then as far as what I experience and see happening on planet Earth is there are multidimensional Earths. There's not just one. You know, there is this physical Earth that we are sitting on or lying on right now that we're present on, but there is multidimensions of Gaia. So there's this three-dimensional Earth that is very polarized between shadow and light. And then there is also present on the planet this five-dimensional new Earth that is not polarized. There's no polarity in it. It's unity consciousness where everything coexists in balance and order together. And it's almost like, if you can think about it, if you are looking onto the planet, you've got, like, in a way, these two corridors, and what you want to choose is either 3D Earth or the 5D Earth. You got the option right now. That's what's making this year so incredible, is we have the option. The portal has opened, and we can choose either one. So if you want to choose to move into 5D Earth, all you have to do is focus on holding the intention and the love in your heart. What I have found is any soul on the planet that holds love in their heart will be able to transition into the 5D New Earth. And so that's all you need to do. And also it helps to hold that vision of the bridge of light between the two realities, the two holograms. Position yourself on that bridge of light. That means you are actually now moving across. And I actually feel almost like a wall of jello. We're moving through time into that higher fifth-dimensional universe, that higher existence. And so the more that you raise your frequency, of course, by doing all of this spiritual work, you know, meditation and yoga and breath work and eating, high live foods, all of this raises your frequency, so you can actually rise right into the new Earth very easily. So that's how I'm seeing the process happening right now.
Cool. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's very. Can I ask you one other question?
Okay.
Real quick? Many people talk about the Earth has already. Well, maybe you've already answered the question, but Earth is already ascended into the fifth dimension. And does that mean that we are in the fifth dimension right now, or Earth is waiting for us? Or what does that mean? Do you know?
That means it's here. It's here. It's alive. It's present, and many souls have gone into it. I've transitioned into it several years ago. What it means then is you're not dealing with polarity anymore in your life. So that would be the key to see. Are you feeling any kickback, any counterforce of negativity? That means then you're still having some polarity running in your life, and that's where the 3D matrix is still grabbing onto you. And so those are the areas that you want to get free of, so that you really are then transitioning and getting into the new Earth. The 5D is alive and existing here now.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate the help.
You're so welcome.
Thanks so much, Ralph. Yeah, when I was listening to you answering Ralph's questions, I kind of was getting this analogy that there, just like you have a radio, and all the stations are broadcasting all the time, but if you're keeping your radio down on the lower frequencies, you're not aware that the other ones are there.
That's
you're
right.
Only tuned into that one.
That's right.
So you can just change the station.
That's
right. And the other analogy I was getting was like, back in the 1600s, when everyone was leaving the old world and coming to the new world,
mm-hmm.
and the boats were leaving, instead of having a ticket for passage, Now they're checking to see if you have love in your heart.
Yeah.
And unity consciousness, and that's your ticket to get on the boat.
Yeah. That's your passport home.
Yeah, it's your passport home. Okay. We are going to move on with some more callers now.
Okay.
And I'm going to have to ask the callers to keep your questions and comments brief because we're going to try to fit in as many of you as we can. And next we are going to hear from Terry. Hello, Terry.
Hi, it's Terry. Hi, Meg.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Lavendar, Ariel. I just wanted to thank you, Meg, for all your work. You're like a... You are the Ascended Master for all of us here.
Thank you.
And then one of our meditation, Meg, I guess it's one of our Wednesday class, you know, when you have a large group. And something came through onto my right arm. It's like a lion of some sort. Just grab onto my right arm. I was curious. I meant to ask you a couple of times, but I never got a chance to. And I was just curious what that meant, or would you just wait?
Okay, let's check on that, because a lot of us can get pain in the joints on the right side of the body, and this usually is the shadow masculine that's trying to hang on to the power and the control on the planet, and
uh-huh.
It can show up in lots of ways like that. And, okay, so let's just see. Also, too, what I'm sensing, Terry, is that this is some old energy that's trying to actually reach through time and grab on and hold on to you. And so this feels like it's from a past life of persecution or abuse. And so what you would want to do is continue to spin the cocoon of mother, cocoon of that pink rose quartz light, and not give in to that interference or intimidation or where it's trying to, like I mentioned, this past week, this energy is really amping it up to try to stop the evolution that's happening, the ascension that's happening. And so the more that you can actually deny it present, deny it access, even through all time. So let's just spin, anybody who notices this, so just spin your cocoon, and let's spin it around your incarnational wheel where it's spinning through past lives as well as now. So there you go. You're starting to spin off any interference or disturbance from where this shadow consciousness tries to come in through past time, past lives. And it's dark matter, and its job is really just to try to feed on our light. All right, there you go. Just sifting that off. And it's about really kind of get the whole big stamp there and go denied access, where no portals are open in time. Like, forget it.
Thank you. Wow, you tingle my right side. Okay.
Yeah, things are moving, because this is where we can't be intimidated by it or go into fear or worry or any of this. This is where we're going to have to hold real strong courage and confidence. It's really more confidence of your own ability as an evolved ascending being as well, that nothing gets to sneak in the back door through time.
Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Okay. Love you.
Thank you. I love you, too.
Bye.
Well, thanks for calling, Terry. Bye-bye. Okay, next we are going to go and we're going to be talking to Jeremy. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Aria, Lavendar, and Meg. Always a pleasure to get to ask and comment. I had a question about, in certain traditions and as we prepare for ascension, that in certain traditions there is the element of needing to deal with the fourth dimension, the astral dimension, and there are many people who were shamans who still, I know, work a lot in the fourth dimension. So, Meg and anyone who else wants to contribute, what do you sense in actually integrating and becoming balanced with whatever we have to do to be unified and raise our consciousness between third and the fourth? And then really have that confidence and knowingness to integrate all three into the fifth.
Okay, that's an excellent question. From what I've been shown to do from the Ascended Masters is the each chakra, we have 12 chakras, and each one is corresponding to one of the 12 dimensions. And so the fourth dimension is the heart chakra. And we can't actually ascend, of course, until we get into this heart chakra of ours and heal it and open it and get the love into that fourth dimensional chakra, the heart chakra. And what this does then is it opens us up to the quantum field. It opens us up to our spirit, opens us up to outside of time. I mean, the fourth dimension in quantum physics is time. And so we are existing in time. And so what I found is by really opening this heart up, I had a lot of wounding in the heart chakra that I had to go in and spend quite a bit of years of healing where it could become this beautiful energy center that linked me up and got the Merkaba spinning and got this beautiful divine light swirling around the heart in a torus spin, a counterclockwise torus spin. And when this is now running 24/7, what this does is it really helped me quantum leap up into the fifth dimension. The fifth chakra, of course, is your throat chakra. And with so many issues that are coming up for people in their throat right now in their fifth dimensional chakra about speaking their truth, this is where all of our soul presence in the heart chakra should be able to slide right up and out our throat and be spoken into the world, right? No hesitation.
Right.
And there's a lot of problems there because we've been persecuted in past lives when we were speaking our truth.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some wounding that needs to be healed again in the fifth dimensional chakra, in the throat chakra. But first, like you mentioned, that heart has to be open and healed first. We have to go there first, and that's where I start always with healing with people.
Excellent. Okay, I guess a little tag onto that, because are you actually really, I maybe probably sense that, because for myself, I know, even as a child growing up and becoming an adult, the fifth chakra was just, I mean, it really had some problems, but there was throat infections, and I mean, I had a genetic hearing disorder on my matriarchal lineage. They've had hearing problems as well. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really interesting that you mentioned that. And maybe, I mean, I just feel like for many of us, whether it's speaking or hearing, that sensing the truth and being able to sense the truth in others is very much where a lot of the transmutation and healing can happen for some of us who maybe even, you know, I do feel like a very heart-centered person. I do feel like I can easily go into this place of really unconditional, you know, love for no reason.
Yeah.
But then actually taking the responsibility in that fifth dimension, in that fifth chakra, to proclaim something and to be firm and confident and to, I guess, fight for it, even if, you know, to have justice towards it.
Yes. And boy, that is a process to go through, because I tell you, when I went through this over the past 15 years, it was very much like, you know, step by step. I couldn't even put my picture on my website 10 years ago because I was so afraid of the persecution that might happen if I speak my truth. You know, there's so many miasms of this memory of being murdered for speaking my truth. So this had to get cleared out so that I would focus on any morphic field that's lodged in the throat of past persecution in past lives. Just using the tones, using the beautiful goddess light, you can start to transmute that and heal that and remove that. Because really, when you think about it, if we're living in unity and consciousness, which is the fifth dimension, we should be able to walk our talk, right? We should be able to speak our truth. We should be able to be authentic and live in integrity where there is no hidden secrets. You know, there is no competition. This is where everyone is being real. And so, yeah, those are all fifth dimensional issues. So, yes, so whatever you can do to continue to bring, you know what I found, what built the inner courage to come out and be my truth, be authentic, was doing this healing process and getting more of my soul presence literally in my core of my body, in my heart, because when I tune into most people, their souls are out in their aura. They're not able to get it into their bodies. And so the more that I could get that actual divine presence in my body, that is what gives you the inner courage, because it's actually just soul presence. It's not where you have to kind of muster up some false egoic courage. This is real stuff that's alive.
Right. That's like, you know, and I do appreciate, I very much go to Lavender's idea of knowing it. Truth knows its own source.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
So I thank you all very much. It's so helpful in these trying 3D days of putting ourselves into unity and putting ourselves into our knowingness. So thank you all so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thanks for calling, Jeremy.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye.
You know, and in a fifth dimensional world, there's no judgment.
Mm-mm.
And that's probably one of the biggest things that people need to watch out for, because no matter, it can just happen in a fleeting moment when you judge something, as Lavendar says, what you judge judges you. So you got to stop that spin too.
Yeah,
okay, next we are going to, I want to reiterate that we have a record number of callers. I've never seen this many people on the switchboard, and we're going to try to get to as many questions as we can. Next, we are going to be talking to our sweet Joseph. Hello, Joseph.
Hello, hello, hello. Well, I must say the very first time I ever saw a photograph of you, Meg, I fell madly in love and remembered all the lifetimes we had had together.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Joseph.
Oh, thank you for being on the show today. I just got in town. I've been down in Albuquerque where I met all these wonderful ladies last year, and I have just completed my final cataract operation, and I have 20/20 vision now in both eyes.
Wow.
I think how appropriate that should happen at this very moment. Meg, I want to commend you for the extraordinary clarity with which you present this information.
Oh, thank you.
None of it's new. I knew it when I came here, and I brought a lot of it here to this planet. But this has been a glorious experience. It's like, oh, my gosh, this woman knows what she's talking about. And it's such a joy. I had the very strange experience of being born in a male body this time and yet being so connected with the feminine, and it has been the strangest lifetime. And I've had many people say, I don't even know what to tell you, you are. And I said, well, that sort of corresponds with what I feel. But I was married, I had children, I've tried everything. And now today I'm really experiencing why I'm here and what this is all about. I have had total experience of blending all the duality and the singularity in 1988. And that's when I went to Egypt, to Philae, and when I went to Assisi and spent time with Francis and Claire. All of these things happened. They came together, and then I came back, and I had a very conscious alchemical cosmic marriage experience.
Wow. Awesome, Joseph. It's not easy to be whole, is it, when nobody else
is? It isn't, but I'm talking to one right now, and it's such a joy. So just thank you for being here. Thank you for knowing who you are and presenting this so brilliantly for those of us who need to hear this, to know we are not alone, and I can hardly wait to see what the future brings.
Oh,
by the
you
way,
and me both.
Yeah. By the way, my last name is Portal.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I was born with the last name Porter. That was my family name. And my guide said several years ago, you've been the keeper of the portals long enough. You are now the Joseph Portal.
I love it. Well, you're leading the pack here across the light bridge into the new earth.
You better believe it, baby, and I can't wait till we meet on the physical plane. It's going to be a glorious reunion. I'm getting off because I could talk for 2 hours, and Ariel knows that. So anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joseph. Thank you so much.
Much love, much love, much love.
Love to you, too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Joseph. Here's a big
bye,
hug.
Bye, darling. Thank you, Ariel.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, what a sweetheart. We are going to pick up one more call here, and I'm not exactly sure how to say your name, but I'm going to guess. Is this Nima?
Yes, hi. How are you? I'm from Baltimore.
Hello.
Hi.
Do you have a question for Meg?
Yeah, I just want to say this is fantastic that I found this. I'm, like, new, just fooling around on Blog Talk, and this is exactly what I've been, like, studying, and I'm into the exact same method that what you're teaching. So it's fantastic for me to hear this and be able to ask questions.
Oh, yes, I think it's wonderful. I'm meeting more and more people who are just naturally drawn to working with vortex energy and the sacred geometry and tones, and it's so exciting because it's all waking up in all of us now. It's a universal tool. Wonderful.
Yeah. For years I've been studying the law of attraction. I read books, original books from like 100 years ago. I mean, it's to me, like, I know Abraham Hicks. I know through masters of Tibetan lamas. I know I've been studying Buddhism. And a lot of this is just, like, perfect to hear. You know, it sounds like you have a tremendous amount of knowledge. So to me, this is just fantastic that you're having this. And other people, just like the other caller said, how other people, you know, can come together. You know, we're not all alone.
No.
So, I mean, this is just great that you're doing this. I just want to say thank you.
Thank you, Nima. I'm so pleased because it's really my job, of course, is just to share this with everyone so they can all start to use this. I mean, we need to all be spinning up together here in the resurrection spiral. So, wonderful.
Now, this is kind of tricky now. Now, I feel like I've entered enlightenment maybe 2 years ago through studying hard. And now, my wife, obviously, she's not like an expert. She's a good person, but she's not on the same level as me. We're newlyweds about a year. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm fed up because I just see too much drama where I want to leave. So now I'm at a point where we got an argument over some drama, and now I'm ready to say, okay, I'm going to move out. And I don't even, because of the fact that I study this, it's almost like I don't care. Like, I'm just happy. Like, this gives me more time to focus on me. Why am I going to let a person bring me down in my life? And now I'm just like, okay, well, I'm happy, but to move and everything, move to a different country. But it's almost like I'm getting a divorce. So, mm-hmm. like, I look at reality, I'm like, wow, okay, I shouldn't be happy. I should be, like, concerned. But now I'm trying to see.
Oh, mm-hmm.
After this happens, the next like month, 2 months, I move out, and I'm trying to see how I'm going to deal with the healing process of leaving someone that I loved and everything like that, and how it's going to, like, am I just going to, like, just forget about her, say she's on her journey in life, I'm on mine, and just be happy?
Okay.
When in reality, like, I just lost my wife and one of my soulmates, which I already know that I have numerous soulmates, and so it's a little, like, confusing, because
because you're working with the lower mind of the human ego, and then you're working with the higher mind of the divine self, and so it's trying to align with what is the guidance, the path, your soul blueprint and purpose of your higher self, and to help the lower human to accept that and follow that. I mean, for me, I had to, like, uproot and leave everything and everybody and come to this mountain town where I know nobody. And I'm going to be honest with you, my human self kicked and screamed and was not happy about it. So it's having to work with that lower consciousness of the human still, the ego, to help it follow the wisdom of the divine self now. And that would be the questions that I would ask then is, are you being called to move in a new direction because it's your soul blueprint, your soul path, or are you being asked to hold the sacred space of love and compassion for your wife to be able to move through her own shadow, her hope, her own polarity? That would be where I would actually start. You trust where you're feeling compelled. That's where your truth is pulling you.
It's difficult because I've studied it for so long that because we met in a certain time in our lives that I attracted her using the law of attraction. Everything went smoothly. But now it's at a point where I've been fighting with dark forces, and they're catching up to me, and they're surrounding me. And this is difficult because it's like she doesn't understand. Like, I try to explain some of the ideas, and she understands, but she's not into it. She doesn't want to practice. She's like a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
She just works, goes to school, and this is what the main focus is time. We don't spend time because she's in a system of just working, thinking she wants something better, wants more, wants to do this. And I'm just like, I'm ready to do the same thing. Like, I want to just get up and move to a country with nothing and start all over.
Yeah.
And she would be like, what? How? What do you mean? Like,
Well, then ask what she's mirroring to you. And if there's anything that you still need to neutralize inside yourself, that then would set you free from any kind of entanglement with this lower energy.
With the dark forces?
Mm-hmm.
I'm confused. I'm
feeling that we only have a few minutes left, and Meg's not going to have enough time to really take you farther on this point right now in this moment. But Meg has a radio show on. Is it still on Wednesday night, Meg?
Yeah, Wednesday
okay.
at 5 o'clock Pacific. Mm-hmm.
5 o'clock Pacific, which
mm-hmm.
would be 8 o'clock Eastern
mm-hmm.
time.
Yep.
And Nima, I think that you would really benefit from a personal session with Meg, where she could really tune in and do more effective work for you than she can here, you know, in front of a radio audience.
Totally, I understand. I appreciate your time and, you know, you taking it into consideration and all that.
But there's a lot of questions that need to be asked, and I certainly can empathize with you because I've been where you are, and I know what you're saying. So I'm just glad that you called in. And isn't it something that you just happened to stumble upon our show this evening when Meg was our guest? So there's some good interesting synchronicities, and synchronicity is confirmation. Just remember that. Okay.
Wednesday nights I'm not available, but I did get the website of Meg, and I do appreciate everything that you do, and I didn't want to come off in a negative way, but it is positive though the whole information that you're putting out there, and that other people join in.
Well, you know, you're reaching out, and that's a really good thing, and you're searching and you're asking questions, and you can always hear Meg's show in the archives whenever it's convenient for you. So just
I'm going to keep studying, doing my research, and, you know, I'm going to become the best expert on it. So,
good for you. Good for you. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling, Nima, and welcome to Starseed Radio Academy.
Okay, dear. Take care.
Okay, we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Well, we have a few minutes that I would like to just expound on. Your radio show is on Wednesday nights on Blog Talk Radio, and it's called New Earth Central.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody, if you have not experienced Meg's show, just go to the search box on Blog Talk Radio and put in New Earth Central, and you'll be able to see all of her episodes, the archives, and you can download the episodes and listen to them later on your, you know, MP3, iPod, whatever, and if you can't happen to be there at that particular moment.
Right. And we do about 20 minutes or so, 20, 30 minutes of activations each week, just helping people get, you know, in this process towards ascension. And then my co-host, Manette Mays, and I, we discuss just what's the current events that week, and then we'll take callers. And so I'll work with callers live. 10, 15 minutes, just little mini sessions that we can do in the time we have on the show. So that's every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific.
5 Pacific time. And your next class is starting on October?
Next Tuesday, October 2nd.
October 2nd.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great. Lavendar, I know you're still with us, and I'm looking down through the switchboard here because we had Deb Regas on the switchboard, and I think she had to go. I wanted to speak with her again before we signed off, but I don't see the number here. We do have some more callers with questions, and you'll need to just hang on a second because we do have some other people that need to be interviewed here before we can bring him on the air.
Okay.
So we have, let's see, the next caller. Oh, we do have Deb back. Oh, great, 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 great. I want to take a moment to talk to Deb. Hello, Deb. Hello, Deb, you there?
Hello.
Hey.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
I wasn't sure what button to push to go live here, so I guess.
I'm the one that pushes the buttons.
Ah, got it.
Yes.
Hi there.
I'm so glad that you're with us, and I want to thank you so much for the interview that you did with Lavendar. And
thank you too. It was great. Thank you, Lavendar.
Yeah. Really encourage everyone to pick up your book.
Thank you.
And Lavendar, you're still there. I know you're you've been listening, and I want to thank you as well for the support that you've given to Deb, and ask that everyone go get a copy of Deb's book. It's called Everybody's a Guru. So I just wanted to thank you, Deb, and we will have two more segments with you in the next 2 weeks, one each week. So there will be more information from Deb, and please do call in case someone has a question for you. Okay, Deb?
Absolutely. I'll be on the next two shows and happily participate. It was really a pleasure to listen in on this one, and Meg's skills and gifts are just lovely to participate and share in. Thank you, Meg, too.
Thank you, Deb. Thank you so much.
Great. Well, we will talk to you again next week, Deb. Just wanted to say hi and thank you.
Thank you, too. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Okay. Well, we are going to try to squeeze a few more callers in here. We only have just a few minutes left. So I'm going to ask you please to keep your comment or question brief. And we are talking to Mark. Hello, Mark. You're on the air.
Namaste. Love, light, and blessings, my dear beautiful goddesses of light and all the beautiful listeners.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Do you have a question for Meg?
Yes. Well, I mean, I also love working with the vortexes, like you were talking about, and toning and all that. I just love working with that. It's so much fun. It's sort of like my playground. But on to the question, because I know that you don't have much time, is fine-tuning the communication that we already have with our multidimensional aspects of our soul, our I Am presence, with unified field, with source, living mind of creation, and all of the beings of love and light on each of those levels of creation.
Well,
to fine-tune that communication consciously.
Okay. So what I found is this chakra pillar of ours also operates like an antenna tower. And so each chakra has like a radar dish, and it's got its own antenna. And this is our sensory system that we're using to tune into these higher dimensions. And, of course, I mentioned each chakra is tuned into one of the 12 dimensions. And so the more that we can actually, like Ariel mentioned earlier, have our chakra pillar locked onto our own soul frequency, it literally is operating like a radio station. That means then we are dialed right into our own personal radio station, and that's how I work. I have, in a sense, all the chakras are tuned inside, all the antennas are tuned into my soul thread that's running down the pillar, and they're locked on it, and that way then I'm always picking up all the communication and guidance and support and visionings and all of it that's streaming in from my higher self coming down. So that would be the first thing, because what you realize is most of the time our ego tries to get us to point our chakra antennas out into the external world that's in chaos, that's in polarity. And then all you pick up is this distortion and interference and misinformation. So the more that you can tune inward and lock on your own soul tones, your own soul frequency, then you really fine-tune your entire antenna tower. And then when you get up to the top of the 12th chakra, the gatekeeper there of your higher self, I point that, basically it's like the capstone of the Great Pyramid. I point that to my star system, and then I get all the incoming communication coming in from my soul group. So this is how I work in being a channel, and it's very effective, actually, and so you don't have to worry about picking up any kind of misinformation. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense, because it's very similar to what I do, but, a little bit different, but general idea. And I just love everything that you've shared, and I definitely am going to listen to the archive again, no doubt about that, because I'm having computer issues and I can't get into the chat room, but that's fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, it's there, and there's actually even a free download, Vortex Meditation, at the website if you sign up for the newsletter. So I try to get this out there in lots of different ways that people can practice with it.
Yeah. Now, what was your website again?
It's called NewEarthEvolution.com.
Ah, okay. I'm definitely going to check that out, and I'll probably send you a message after I look it over.
Okay, wonderful, Mark. Thank you.
All right, lovely and blessings.
Hey. Love to you.
Thanks for calling, Mark. Okay, well, the other caller that we had has fallen off the switchboard somehow. Well, how about this? We have a caller from our switchboard host. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Ariel. Hi, Doug. Hi, Meg.
Hi, Chris.
I have a quick question about the counterclockwise spin.
Okay.
And is that something like after the meditation, do you keep that going, or is it done, or is it just for the purpose of the meditation?
Well, when I first began using it 15 years ago, I could only handle spinning it while I was focused on it in meditation. But what I found is eventually, by doing it regularly, it was adapting to my own frequency. And so it was actually integrating with my aura and my consciousness. And so it began to, it's very highly sophisticated and intelligent, and began to respond to my own consciousness. And so now it's running all the time. And it's working for me all the time, so I can be doing some other mundane task, and I can feel it spinning stuff out that's discordant. And so it's constantly kind of, you know, cleaning me out or letting me know when I need to pay attention to something. So it's, I think for me, I had to learn how to hold it without getting vertigo. I had to get, you know, really solid grounding where I could spin it all the time, day and night, so it's working for me day and night. I wake up and I'm in a lucid dream and we're doing all kinds of healing work. And so, you know, it really is a life tool, and it is where we're activating the Merkaba. That's really what it's doing. This quantum vortex is activating the Merkaba spin inside us, and it's getting that resurrection spiral running 24/7.
Okay, but it's not going to just happen, you know, like that. Right, and that's what you're saying.
Well, it depends on how fast you take. It took me slow, but this was also, you know, a long time ago when everything was very dense. See how fast that you can respond to it and hold it and let it keep running.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Meg.
You're so welcome.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Nice to hear you on this side of the switchboard.
Yeah. Thanks, Ariel.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, I understand Chris's question, because when you first start doing this, if you keep trying to keep it spinning, if you haven't quite got things balanced and grounded and anchored, it might be out of control. It's almost like, you know, a car with no brakes,
right.
And that can be a little hairy until you really learn how to drive.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure that everyone's rate of speed is going to be different as far as how quickly they get the hang of being a driver. But certainly, I think that it will come.
Oh yes, with practice, it will. The body will adjust to it and get used to it and hold it. Yeah.
Well, I just looked, and now. We're not going to be able to take any more questions because we've got less than 2 minutes left, and I do want to kind of wrap things up and give a quick reminder. Meg's show is tomorrow night, Wednesday night, at 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern time, right here on Blog Talk Radio at New Earth Central, and her website is newearthevolution.com. And please take advantage of the wonderful work that Meg is doing. Meg, we love you. We love having you on the show, and you are so clear and so just the flow of your thought stream is just really easy to follow, and we so appreciate that. We want to thank all of our listeners and to tune in next week. We're here every week the same time. Thank you for listening. Meg Benedicte, thank you so much for being our guest on behalf of Lavendar and Anastasia and Chris and Tammy and Rose and Sahar and Belvin, all of our friends here at Starseed Radio Academy. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week. So good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
have been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.